Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Jam Session. As always, I am your host Jameson, and I am joined by one of my co-hosts, Corey. And we have a special guest, like we said at the end of the last episode, who we'll be introducing a little later on. We just want to take this first time to say that we appreciate all of you listeners, and we really appreciate all the love we've been seeing for the podcast and the reception it's been getting. I've been hearing a lot of feedback, and just to hear that it's doing good and that people are, you know, taking it to heart and changing their mindsets and thinking about stuff out of the box. It's fantastic to hear. I appreciate every listen, every just by tuning in. I appreciate it. This is for you guys. This is just us trying to make the world a better place and to just put more positivity out in the world. So first off, thank you guys for liking, subscribing, and for tuning in every week. I hope you guys like what we have coming for you. But now let's get into our guest of the week. She's someone I've known for some time now, and is a therapist in the mental health field. And I'm just excited at the opportunity to have you on here and to have a good conversation about mental health. So first off, thanks for being here.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I've never done one of these, so I'm super stoked.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, my name's Stephanie. I'm a therapist. Last couple of years, I've been a therapist for a residential facility. Jameson and I worked together back in the day.
stories.
Right. I started in direct care, so I've been, in the field of mental health now for 7.5 years, actually.
Okay.
So it's good work. I've recently decided to move on. I got a new job recently, so I'll be transitioning out. So that's exciting.
Okay. Are you still, you're still going to be working in mental health?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing grief counseling. Okay. So it's, something different. It's kind of a new set of skills I'll have to learn. But I love the field, man. I don't know what to say. Like, I just have a passion for it. So it's exciting either way.
Okay, so when you say you were in the mental health and now you're saying you're doing grief counseling, what was, like, in the mental health field, what were you doing at first? Like, what type of counseling were you doing?
So I started, when I was getting my psychology bachelor's degree, I wanted to sort of get my foot in the door. And so I actually started to do, like, PRN work at the place that I ended up being a therapist at.
Okay.
So, I worked on the units with teenage
walk, I'm sure.
Yeah. it was good times. And from there, after I got my bachelor's degree, I became like a skills trainer. And so I did that for, I think, 4 years. And then I decided to go back and get my master's degree and did that. There was like a part-time master's program I did. So I was doing that while working full time, and then I moved up and became a therapist.
Crazy.
Hey, y'all see that, people? Y'all, she got a practice.
That's
that. Or
that's hospital.
Kept going.
Hell yeah. And it's, it goes hand in hand with the line of work too, because it wasn't just going to class and then going to work. You know, it was dealing with what we had to at work wasn't easy on top of trying to get your master's, let alone bachelor's, all that.
And it was really intense work, but I don't know. I like that intense work, but you really have to take care of yourself when you're doing it.
And that's what we promote all the time, mental health and checking yourself, because it's so easy to just get lost in all of it.
It is. It's true. You have so much stress built up that you can forget about what you want to do.
Yeah, you can get lost in it for sure.
What was some of your ways that, or how would you know when you were getting too close to that? Like, you had to take, you knew in the few, sometime in the near future, you had to take some time for yourself and like recharge.
You know, it's interesting because, like, when you throw yourself into a really busy schedule, which is essentially what I did. So, I was going to work in the morning and then I was going to class at night. Right. And then on top of that, when I started, you know, they make you do internships. So I would be doing that on top of those other things. And so you kind of go into this survival mode where it's almost nice because you don't think, you don't feel, you're just like this robot that just goes here, goes there, work, 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 go home, crash and sleep.
Right.
And so, you know, you kind of get used to it. But then actually the hard part, and I tell this to anybody who, you know, wants to go back and get their master's degree or, you know, go back to school for something. I say the hard part is actually when you're done with the degree and then you have all this free time and you have to sort of sit with yourself and think and feel again. And it can kind of freak you out. But yeah, you really have to, you know, remember what your healthy hobbies are, you know, journaling, all that stuff is really important when you're throwing yourself into a busy schedule and then eventually that schedule slows down.
Right. So in our last couple of episodes, we've been talking about coping skills. As you've been in the mental health field, what coping skills would you put out there for others to use?
I mean, there's so many good ones out there. And I think it kind of depends on what you're coping with. So if you're in, like, we use this term a lot, Jamison, you're going to know this when I say if you're in, like, an emotional crisis, you know, the coping skills you need are going to be a lot different from the coping skills that you use if you're just stressed or frustrated or annoyed. Right, right. So, you know, you need a very specialized set of coping skills for those times where you're really struggling. One of my favorite ones to teach is, it's called the dive response. Okay. And so what you do, and I mean, this is for when you're on the brink of maybe hurting yourself or wanting to hurt someone else or wanting to overdose, you know, that kind of level of crisis.
Right.
You get a bucket or a big bowl and you fill it up with ice water.
Okay.
And you take a rag and you put the rag in there and you take the rag out, wring it, and you hold your breath and hold that rag up to your eyes, your eye area. And you hold your breath for 30 seconds or as close to 30 seconds as you can get. And what this does is it triggers this dive response in your body to your body thinks that you're drowning. And your heart rate goes down right away. And when you are done with the 30 seconds, you slowly, you know, start breathing again and you pull the rag away and it brings your body temperature down. I mean, it calms you down quick.
Okay.
So that's when I teach a lot when I'm working with people who are like, you know, I just black out because I get so mad or, you know, I just go from 0 to 100 really quick. That's a really good right, coping yeah. skills that doesn't require you to like think because, you know, when you're in a certain level of upset, like you can't really think straight at all.
Right. Overthinking.
So like, that's a really good one I like to teach. You know, there's other ones, just doing something with your hands is a really good coping skill. Like I used to just give out fidget cubes cause they were just such a nice little thing to, for people with anxiety to just fidget with.
Okay. Okay.
There's just all sorts of, and then there's like cognitive ones, you know, you might find that it's actually your thoughts that are getting you worked up.
Right, yep.
And so for those, you know, there's these cognitive ways of coping, like kind of forcing yourself to think of something in a different light so that it's less painful to think about. I had a session today where, you know, the person I was talking to kept saying things like, well, my life sucks, there's nothing I can do. And I have this conversation like, okay, thinking that, what does that make you feel when you think about that? And they're like, oh, I feel terrible, I feel anxious, I feel depressed. Okay, so what is there a way that you could think differently so that it's less painful?
Right.
And it's tricky, right? Because we have this habit of thinking in extreme negative ways. Right, and I tell exactly. people, like, it takes a lot of practice, but the more you practice it, the easier it'll come.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep.
Yeah. And I love that you said at the beginning, too, about knowing the coping skills you need and the coping skills you want. Cause I mean, you can during this a lot situation. Of things in the world, you can be like, oh, this is my coping skill, but is it actually like helping you in a time you need it? Or are you just saying it's a coping skill and it's actually just something you want?
Well, yeah, so if you say something like, oh, well, my coping skill is coloring, I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do when you can't color?
Right.
You know, right, you got to have right. a few of them.
Even
so, my other question on the mental health thing, so like, would you say, you know, starting your day off at the beginning of the morning, and you say you started off angry or something, you know, like, and then that energy continues to go on throughout the day, how can you like turn that around? Like, how can you change that such negative vibe to be like better to yourself, positive vibe?
That's a really good question. And that's one that I think has to do with vulnerability to certain emotions.
Okay.
So I'll often ask people, like, what makes you more vulnerable to have a bad day? So a popular one is like, well, when I don't feel good, when I'm sick, or, oh, you know, when I am just not eating right, or I didn't sleep well, that usually gives me a crappy day. And so I think expanding your awareness about the things that may have you predispositioned to have a bad day, being mindful of those things and knowing how to take care of yourself.
You know, right. I said something on the last podcast you'd love, Stephanie, and said, I heard it said, emotions are always valid, but they're not always right. Like in the moment, you know, like if you think you're having a bad day because of a small reason that, you know, was that you've definitely seen blown out of proportion a lot. Like, you know, you have no reason to be mad. You have a whole rest of the day. You know, you have an entire, you know, this is just a small portion of your day. You are controlling how much emotion you want to give it. Do you want to give it anger? Do you want to give it care? Do you want to give it, let it go and just keep move on with your day? You decide where you're putting the energy, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. But like you said, going on with the, you saying someone start their morning out not eating right. So do you think nutrition, like getting nutrition in your body, starting off the morning is key to starting off the day right?
Yeah, for some people, I don't know if you guys knew this, but it was found that some people have a sensitivity to carbohydrates, and that, you know, consuming too many carbohydrates can actually make them more vulnerable to being more emotionally reactive. And it's just, it's
really?
So fascinating. Yeah, it's a thing. I wasn't really aware of it until like, I think a year ago, another therapist told me about it and I looked it up, and yeah, it's legit. So knowing, like, not to say that, you know, one diet fits all, because
right,
everybody's
right.
different and like what diet works for them, but knowing
right.
what works for you and sticking to that, you know, can help you, I think, yeah, like starting the day off right. I mean, it's just little things. Some people think it's just a big thing, but it can be
right,
little things
yeah.
too.
Small mm-hmm. things do matter.
That's right.
Eat
your Wheaties, guys.
Yeah, for real.
Stay away from carbohydrates, though. Ooh,
yeah, that's
so
lead by example.
Good question for you too. I brought this up the other day. Because we're talking about the energy, you know, how the world is, and we all know what the world looks like right now. What do you think has been mental health has in correlations with social media?
Ooh, are you asking me?
Yeah, you're Stephanie, right?
I you cut out for a second. Sorry.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, just what you think about.
You know, I watched that, there's this popular Netflix documentary.
Yes,
that came
I know
out.
What
I
you're...
Know, what's it called? The Social Dilemma, I think?
Yeah, I just watched that too. Yep.
And I watched it, yeah, and so I understand, you know, while I don't feel like it was the best documentary ever made, like, it raised some good
right.
points about how these social media companies can really, like, it's their business to get you on their apps for longer and more frequently.
Right.
So I do see validity in this idea that we are spending more and more and more and more time on social media, kind of for the
yeah.
wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, for I think the longest time, like, I didn't want to admit that I'm pretty addicted to it. And at the same time, it does sort of take you away from the present, in my opinion. So when I teach mindfulness and meditation, like it really is just sitting and observing things that are going on around you, noticing what you're feeling that day. And what social media does, it's this really nice escape from all that, and you're kind of sucked into drama about other people or sucked into.
Exactly.
And a little bit of that is okay, but I think it becomes a problem when it like that's all you want to do when you come home is just get on Facebook and just get sucked into the rabbit hole, I think a lot of people call it.
You
Miss out on life. You miss out on
Yeah, and
life.
with the
That's
whole
true.
COVID thing, I mean, what else are
It's
we
worse.
gonna do? Yeah, I think it's gotten a lot worse. And even I can speak for myself, like I'm on it a lot more because I, you don't really go out anymore because, I mean, even in Indiana, I guess cases are spiking, so it's best to just stay home. And it, yeah, I mean, so to answer your question, like I do think it's starting to really impact people in ways that I don't think we're really realizing yet.
Well, and even I've seen just when I've been on it myself, I just see a lot of people being down. I see a lot of stuff that just sends out depressing, not good energy, So
Yeah.
to know that the general collective of people is just unhappy right now, I'm like, that's why there's a need for this even more. Like, there needs to be more positive out there. There needs to be more good stuff because it's rough and it's
It is
hard
rough,
right
yeah.
now. A lot,
You know what I think they
all
should do?
What's that?
I mean, because you guys see this stuff on social media where someone's like really depressed, they'll like put it on their Facebook status. You know, like I saw someone's recently where it's like, oh, I'm about to do something stupid and like they were misspelling stuff, so I'm sure they were drunk. Like people really do cry out on Facebook a lot.
They do.
So there should be
But they
something.
won't they but a lot of people do that just because they want people to hear them.
Yeah. And so I wonder if they could, just because social media is such a big part of our lives now, they could install something that automatically picks up on that and gives them like a free service. Like, hey, you want to talk to a therapist? Like, there's an online therapist. You know what I mean?
They're going to send you an ad of something you were thinking about purchasing. The least they could do is that, like you said, like when someone posts something like that, like, hey, there's this you can talk to, there's this people, a 24-hour chat line, something,
Like I know Google does that because if you type in like methods of suicide, the first thing that'll pop up is like, hey, if you need help, here's the hotline. So like some they're getting into it a little bit, but I think Facebook, I mean, they just have a big responsibility. I think Mark Zuckerberg just needs to realize that like he's got a lot of stuff that he's responsible for now, so
Well, and it's exactly like they were saying in that same documentary, like, which I kind of, I always, I hate the way it is, but I try to double-edged swords, middle of the road it, and like it's really they created it and it's all how we use it, It's how what we take to it. We live in the age of information. What are we using that information for? Like, are we using it to better ourselves? Are we using it to, when in the past when people wanted to learn another language but couldn't, you can do that by Googling it online right now and find out and start helping find ways to teach yourself how to learn another language. So accessibility, I feel, is again a positive and a negative because I've also seen accessibility be a bad thing where I've been at work and trying to get, a younger person to work on something, and they're like, well, I can just look up the answer to it and find it. Why do I have to try and read a book or figure it out? I'm like, well, it's not always going to be available to you. You have to be able to do it on your own. Internet wasn't always around to do a book report. You used to have to read an entire book and then write out what you learned rather than just Googling bits and pieces of it and, making a report out of it.
Like looking up the summary or something.
So accessibility, big
But it
thing.
all comes in place with self-determination and self-control. And that's where everyone has to hold themselves accountable to.
Yeah, I'll have to admit, like, I did disable, like, the social media app's ability to, like, send you notifications on your phone when something happens. Because
Right.
that's, I noticed they do rope you in that way. Like, if I get a thing saying, like, this is, someone posted this, like, I'm way more likely to open Facebook again. So, like, I shut all that
Right,
off.
yep.
And,
Right.
yeah.
Oh, man,
Which is,
that's.
and that's what they're saying about notifications. That is what scares me, is because that's what I've learned in ABA, is it's positive intermittent
Yeah,
reinforcement,
like immediate too.
which, yeah, and it's immediate. And that they're like, what's even crazy is that there's intention behind it.
Yeah, it messes with your,
But
what do
it,
they call that? Like your pleasure reward system? It like
yes,
overloads it or
yeah.
something like that. Yeah.
Because it's nonstop reinforcement. It's a, because they always want you, as long as you're in front of the screen,
They
keep
want you to log in, check it out.
judging. Yeah, and so that's why, turning it's intermittent, because it's not, it comes whenever they're trying to lure you back, whenever you've been off a certain social media app for too long, or
And that's why
you
I
want to
keep my
see who's
phone.
posted what,
Yeah, I've tried to get in this habit of I want to like read more again. So instead of like just getting on
Okay.
like TikTok and getting down
Yes.
that rabbit hole, I like am rereading my one of my favorite books. And so that's been helping.
What's that?
Count of Monte Cristo.
Ooh, good one, good
It's
one.
so good and it's
Okay,
so
okay.
intense. That's why I like it.
Well, it's a big read too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a book. But those are
Yeah,
always the best ones too.
like you said, getting the reading, I've currently got into it. I've been saying in the past couple episodes, but like I try to start my day off without even looking at my phone. I try to get my breakfast and hydrate. If I got a workout or something, and then like hit the books. I try to, knowledge is power, so I try to put as much knowledge I can in my head. Because like we said, your brain is your biggest asset, so why not put more into it? And that's what I've been trying to do. I just start my days off right, try to, get everything done, prioritize, and then I enjoy my day from there.
Oh yeah, and you read
Yeah.
stuff like crazy stuff on the internet too that, doesn't always have like strong sources, and so I notice people get sucked into more of that now too.
Yes.
Yep, that's true.
Hard to know what's real and what's not.
Right, yep.
And people just take it as truth, even, and then they're just.
Yeah, somebody will just like show
Oh.
me an article like on they found online, and I'm like, dude, what is this? And why are you sending it to me? Like, it's just some of the like conspiracy stuff and all that.
Fake news.
Oh yeah.
All of that. Yep. That'll get you. And that's just all drawing attention into that one site that everyone wants you to see. And that's the lack of focus that a lot of people have. Because once someone sends you something, their first instinct is to go look at it.
It's that reinforcement. You think something good is going to be on the end of it,
Yep, that's true.
Crazy times we live in, guys. Crazy times.
Oh, yes, very. And they say history repeats itself, so that's what it's basically doing.
They say, like, one of the best things I liked he said in that documentary is that we were not meant to interact with 300 million people, whatever. We weren't meant to interact with all the people in the state. We were meant to interact with the people around us, and form our circle and get the people that are close to us,
Yep, just yep. So
Like,
who you
so to,
surround yourself around?
and instead, I feel like another bad way social media can go is they look for that approval in social media. You look for,
Likes and
you try likes, hearts, all that stuff.
I feel like online dating is like that too. Like you need this validation for people to like reach out to you, and people get like really depressed if they get on like
Right.
dating sites. They're like, I can't meet anybody, and they get
Right.
like really mad.
Right. You're not meeting anyone either on those sites.
Right. It's like you trying to get catfished. I'm not judging. I've been on them,
There's
so
a
I
whole
know.
TV show about that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you can't even like, do you really expect a paragraph or a quote unquote bio? Like, you're not gonna get any indication of who a person is
Who
by what
really
you
is, yeah.
read about them or something they have to
Your true intentions, yeah.
Do you guys want to hear my
literally, yeah.
golden nugget about dating?
What's
I don't know
that?
if you're in relationships, but like I have this really stellar advice that I give people. And
Okay.
that advice is like if you really want to know who someone is and what their true colors are, watch how they conduct themselves under immense stress and adversity.
Okay.
And you learn a lot about people when you see how they operate under stress. I'm telling you.
That's true. Yeah.
It's true. You're gonna see either those, you'd see people that just break or just, how they change colors real quick, turn up. Or you see the people that take charge and like, okay, I got this, or handle their stuff and how, they turn that situation into a diamond under pressure,
Right. I mean, because
That's true.
some people, like when they're stressed, especially if they're not mentally healthy, like you'll see them just break down and collapse. And so, like, how they cope with things, like, what are their coping skills? If they're stressed, do they just go home and, like, drink themselves to death? Or do they, go exercise
Right,
and do
yeah.
something healthy?
And that's the thing that a lot of people need to understand, that these coping skills can really help you, because if you just say you having these stress problems or you're emotionally hurting or something, and you're just going home and you're just locking yourself away, you're not doing anything to get out of that stress. You just, you're thinking about it 24/7. All you're doing is locking yourself away from the people that's trying to support you.
Well, you have to make sure that your circle is actually your circle too, and that's a hard thing to find nowadays too, is those people that, like you said before, are genuine, that actually have your best intentions at heart. Not only your best intentions, but their own best intentions. Like you said, Stephanie, if they're going home and drinking under pressure, is that really the person that, like, let them take care of themselves? They're not in the best position to help you either.
Oh yeah, I lived with an alcoholic, so I know how it is.
And you know, a big thing I learned too, and it's a really hard lesson to learn, is you can't help someone who doesn't want to help themselves.
Exactly, that's the
No
truth.
matter what. And it said, like, if you really want to see how hard change is, ask someone else to change. And then you'll realize it's a hard thing to do in yourself first,
It
even.
is, yeah.
Yeah, and keeping in mind that like change takes a lot of work and a lot of time. So someone who says like, "Oh, I'm a different person now," like 3 months later, like that's not genuine.
It's not true,
It's not change. It's not long-term
right.
change.
It's not a long-term change. You gotta be genuinely happy with yourself all the way around.
That's shoot. That's I've always found that to be the best dating advice too, is like, if you're not happy with yourself first,
Right.
no one else will make you happy.
Exactly. How can the next make you happy if you're not happy with you? Exactly. It's the truth. I learned that the hard way. But you got to go through things to learn from them.
You
Life
gotta
is
go
all
through
about
the storms.
experiences. Life is all about experiences. So, it says if it's good, I read this, I had this motivation. Going through my motivation app, it said if life was good, then it was beautiful, But if life was bad for you at one point, it's all experience, life experiences,
I think
and you just grow from them.
honestly, it's the bad times that remind us that life is beautiful.
Right, yeah,
It's
and that
the
could
bad
be, yeah,
times
you're taking advantage
that,
of what you got in life.
yeah, they're the bucket of cold water.
Yep.
They're the times where we don't stop in life. Life never stops, It's always
It's
something
continuously
else. Something
moving.
else stressing you out. It's always something else going on. But when something big happens in our life, like a major change or traumatic event, or even like the loss of a loved one, it's a stop
Right,
and it's a
stoppage, yeah.
pause to everything. And you're forced to just look around and look at your surrounding and be like, is this the surrounding I want? And those are the times when you say you really have to look inward. It forces you to look inward.
Right. And hey, that's nothing but God opening your eyes. It's an eye opener.
And that's why meditation is so important too. I think it, and that's a lot of times when people pick it up afterwards, is it's in those times where, like you were saying earlier, Stephanie, it's our phones and even TV at times is a distraction from our reality. But when you can take those times to sit and find out what is your reality, how are you actually feeling? How are you? What is your thought process, and just slow it down. And I feel like it's hard for people to put down the phone and be
It's
able to
so
do that.
hard.
Or do you think that they're afraid to do that?
I think that there are so many ways to easily distract yourself from letting yourself feel that it's almost like second nature for people to constantly just like be focused on, hyper focused on something, or that, some people like I have to have some kind of noise and music. Because they're afraid to just sit in the silence
Right,
and just
yeah.
and be, and that comes from, I'm sure, all sorts of different things. Some people are just, I've heard some people tell me like, well, I don't like the silence because that's when I get in my head. Or, but mentioning meditation, you're not in your head when you're meditating. You're in the
You're supposed to be
present.
relaxed, really. Yeah.
You're in the present. You're letting your thoughts flow. You're not focusing on them.
And here goes a thing on self-discipline that I saw on Instagram, and it was saying how like discipline yourself before you discipline the world. And basically, from Will Smith statement, he said that self-discipline, what he was basically saying was that self-discipline is the center of all material success. And then he also said that you against he said you cannot win against the world unless you can win against your own mind. You can't win against your own mind. You can't win against the world. You know what I mean? Or you cannot win the world, the war against the world, if you can't win the war with, against your own mind. So like those are just two things that I thought were good to intake in a self-discipline like step of mind,
Yeah, the mind can make you
because it all
miserable.
starts with you. It can, yeah.
Yeah, your mindset, you can make your own self
That's
miserable.
true.
I feel like that's a lot of, especially even after, times where you go through an identity crisis, when you're trying to think, who am I, or I have to be by myself. How, what kind of person am I? How, like you said, how am I reacting under this stress? And that you'll see your own reaction, how you react to it, because when you stop and look at the results of your own actions, your own choices, are you going to like what you see, or are you going to be upset with them? Because if you have a personal goal or you don't want to be in a certain mindset, like no one and nothing will ever just come out and say, here you go, here's that happiness you wanted,
Right, yeah.
here's that weight loss, or that
Here's that $1 million you've been wanting.
education. Yeah, the $1 million you've been wanting. Nothing is ever a degree. Nothing is ever gonna just be dropped. Oh, well, you wanted it, so here it
Yeah,
is.
nothing's given. You got to work for it.
You have to work for it. Hey, did you just get handed your degree, Stephanie? Was that just the cakewalk?
What do you mean? Like when I got it?
No, like working all those years for it
Oh
when
yeah,
you
it
were in
was
school.
tough. I mean, it was definitely one of the toughest things I ever did. Just because you just run yourself down. I mean, some people have the luxury of like working or not working at all when they're going to school or working part-time, but like I did not have that luxury. Like I had bills I had to pay, so I was And I was going through a lot of stress in my life at the time too, which never helps.
But you're self-motivated. You're self-motivated to get where you want to
Oh
be.
yeah, I was, I mean, I was really determined, and that is something that you need if you're gonna like continue with your education. Like, you really got to be sure that that's what you want,
Right.
because
Exactly.
in my program, some people are like, I don't know if I want this, it's so stressful. Like, I was never like that. I was like, nope, I am doing this until the end, and that's what carried me through.
Yeah. He was a
And do
go-getter.
you think that's because of that, like you had to have self-determination in school, that you started applying it to your life as well?
Yeah, I mean, I so like I'm not gonna get up here and be like, yeah, I'm like this A student. Like, I was never that like overachiever type. Like, honestly, in high school, like, I was going through a lot in high school, so my grades were not great. Like, I graduated with like a 3.2, which wasn't bad, but like not compared to like the 3.8s that we're getting into college, like the 4.0s.
But you put in the work
But
to
I, yeah, and
finish
I
too.
always wanted like to continue my education. So like, I think determination can definitely outdo this sort of like overachiever kind of attitude in a lot of ways. You know,
Right.
people can fizzle out.
But even with that 3.2, you gave all efforts though, you know, and that's where it all starts at. You got to give 100% effort to anything that you put into out there. So if you don't do that, then you know you're not already taking the steps to better you, because you're not giving your full effort at it.
Yeah, and I didn't
When I think about
know this
it,
at the time, but I don't know if you
yeah.
guys knew, but when you are like clinically depressed, if you were to take an IQ test, it's going to be significantly lower than what your actual IQ is.
Wow, I did not know that.
I believe it. Because you're not trying your best, you're not
Well, and you
feeling
can't
your best.
concentrate,
Yeah, that's true. I
like,
can see it.
you can't
Yeah.
concentrate.
Yeah,
Unfocused
I can see
thoughts are
that.
scattered.
So when I would work with like, I work with teenagers, and they would say, oh, they have a low IQ, and I would see that they have like depression as a diagnosis. I'm like, well, I think they're a lot smarter than you think. It's just that this depression is just sucking all their concentration and
Yeah.
focus.
Yeah, I've known some that were just so intelligent,
Oh
so
yeah.
bright, and had like all the potential in the world, but depression is just a mother, you know, it just dread, it's an anchor. That's the best way to describe it, is it even the brightest mind and the biggest potential, a mindset can just drag you down, and it's
Well, and here's an
such a
example.
shame.
When I was in, I think, 8th grade, I was super depressed, and we took some kind of reading comprehension thing, and I tested at a 5th grade level.
No.
And at that point, I'm like, well, there's no way I'm going to college. And now I have a master's degree, so there you go. I'm living proof.
Dream. That's but you also didn't accept that as an answer. You know, you weren't okay with that. You made a change and you put in the
Yeah, that's,
work.
I think so many people who are, depressed or anxious, like, they need a lot of encouragement. Like, don't let yourself think that this is, your potential, what you're struggling with now. Like, you're not defined by the things that you struggle with. Like, you can, I mean, it sounds like cheesy, but it really is the case that you can do anything you actually put your mind to.
No. Much like materializing, yeah. You can, you know, if you want it, go get it. You gotta make it happen. Like I said, it's not gonna be brought to you, and
Right.
it's hard to get in that mindset.
It is.
You know, it's hard, but I tell you, once you realize that, it's a life changer, because once you start to actively try to better your own life, you'll see the dominoes fall around you. You'll see things will start to get better. Things will, you know, but it's the energy you put out. It's what you're putting the effort in. If you're not putting the effort in, it's not going to come to you. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think, it's also important to just acknowledge struggles too.
Right.
Like, I get on a pedestal about this. Like, if someone's down or they're struggling, like, don't be like, oh, you have no reason to struggle, or try to like shove them a bunch of advice. Yeah, just be like, I know that's hard.
Right. Sometimes
Look
you
them
just gotta,
up.
yeah, sit down there
Yeah.
with them for a minute.
Look them up.
Be like, I'll chill
I
here
tell
with
this
you
to
for a
parents
minute.
too.
But
Yeah. Because if you show your support to someone else, when you're going through them times, they're gonna show that support. They're gonna know that you was there for them. So that when you're going through whatever you're going through at that moment or at that time, then you know that you're gonna have that person account have someone there that's gonna support you there. What you're going through, letting you know it's okay to let this emotion out. It's okay to cry. It's okay to do this. It's
What do you
okay to
tell
do that,
parents,
you know?
Stephanie?
So I don't like, I know a lot of parents, if their kid comes to them and says stuff like, I'm depressed, I don't want to live, X, Y, Z, I'm anxious about school. Like I've noticed a lot of parents kind of go to this default, like, oh, why are you even thinking like that? Or
Try to
why,
say.
you have no reason to feel that way. And it's just, they mean well, but it often just has the opposite effect of what they want. And so I tell parents,
Invalidation.
yeah, I tell
They
parents a
don't.
lot, like, just sit with it. Don't try to give them
Right. Yeah.
advice. Don't try to tell them otherwise. Just sit with what they're telling you. And they struggle with that because, you want to get in there and make everything better, as a parent. But I tell them just acknowledge how hard it is.
100%. I couldn't agree more. I know, even just personally, that it's the best thing to just you can't solve the problem out the gate. You should just be happy that they're opening up to you to say, "Hey, I'm not okay." Because a lot of the times we go out in the world and, we can tell people are not okay. When you ask them, "How are they feeling? Are they actually okay?" But if someone's coming to you and saying, "Hey, I'm not okay," and like opening up to you, just be like, "Okay, I'm here. Just be present." You're not, they're not asking you to solve it. They're not asking you to, a lot of times they don't even know
Right,
what'll
or
help
like
them.
if they start
It comes
crying,
down
some people will be like, don't cry, don't cry. Like,
to.
you know what I say whenever anyone starts crying in my office? The thing I always
What's
say
that?
is, it's okay to cry. Like, giving them permission to cry can be really powerful.
Yeah. 100%. I know when I've seen I'm sure a lot of people have seen a bad reaction to one of these scenarios, but I know I was going through a loss of a parent, and my significant other didn't know how to respond to it. They didn't know at the time how to do that. They were There's no, like, I don't know what you want me to say when you bring them up. Well, it's not knowing what to say.
Right.
It's just being there, being present, being allowing the process to happen. Just the fact that you're around is what gives me
Or
comfort,
just
you know?
saying that's so hard.
Right, yeah.
Like just saying that can do a lot.
It can do a lot. And even just
Yeah.
presence, because it can be just energy, energy, people you feel comfortable around. Because I know you can be around people that you're just like anxious and just uncomfortable around. And then there's people you just feel like completely at ease around and just that recharge you. They don't feel draining, they don't feel like they're stressing you out.
Right, yeah.
And then the time, I feel like those are the, we talked about in one of the episodes, those are the roots. Those are the people in your life that are there for you, that will, when times are tough, they show you their true colors. They show you the kind of person they are.
How feels that? And like what all you just said is the truth. Like the roots is the roots on the tree. You find those people who will stick around.
And
But and I go
one
ahead.
thing I like help people with too is like sometimes people just have families that are just not supportive. Like their inner circle is just they're just people that, I mean, Right.
Are
Like,
not
and
good for
so
you.
sometimes, like, you have to be your own inner circle and your own roots, too. Like, it's way harder for sure.
Yes.
But, like, I do. I meet people where it's like, man, like, it's so hard to see everybody who's supposed to be encouraging to them are just, like, doing the opposite.
No.
Yeah.
Dragging them down, yeah. And it's even harder to get out of it when it's those situations,
right,
usually.
Right, they have this fate of being sucked into the toxicity, right?
They feel trapped. They feel like they can't get out of it. They can't get away from those people that
right,
just drag them down.
But that's the sign. But that's where that sign come, living in the past comes from. You got to move forward.
You have to. You have to. And you have to, you know, when those people are in your life, you have to make sure, do they really have your best interests at heart?
And do you have your own best interests at heart?
It's a big one, too. You got to work yourself.
You got to ask yourself questions, that too. Yeah. That is true.
It's hard. It's a hard thing to ask of yourself, too. And, you know, we go through a lot of times where we don't even like ourselves. We don't like the world around us, but you're not happy with yourself. I feel like those two go hand in hand a lot of the times. You know, our reality around us is a reflection of us. You know, whether it's your house, what you come home to, or what you're feeling, what you're expressing to other people, it all shows. You know, you can just read someone's energy when they walk in the room. You know, you can just feel whether they bring in good vibes, good energy, or they're just something feels off.
We gotta eat good on the holidays.
And we're getting into that season now too.
Yeah,
be a lot.
Sure. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Can't
a lot
wait.
Of positive vibes. It's a lot of that's, you know, that's the one time of year I don't look forward to much of the time of year, but you know, when the holiday season, it's a good feeling, you know. It feels like everyone simultaneously actually has it. They can see signs everywhere, they know it's coming up, you know, it seems like it's just a collective good feeling, besides the few Grinches, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I think people need more of that, especially in this year.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it's, you know, it's a good feeling. Yeah. Am I talking too much? Should I just stop ranting?
We're all just talking about vibes and stuff.
Well, I talked about
yeah,
so chill true. A vibe. I chilled the podcast.
Dang.
Now, that's not,
you did.
Not a vibe. I don't know what it is. I started talking about food and Velveeta and Thanksgiving, and I gave everyone that mood right after you finished Thanksgiving,
you
the meal.
Really hungry,
and everyone just sitting on the couch. Oh, I thought y'all were sleepy. Y'all weren't. Y'all were just
no, I was
quiet.
Fantasizing about mac and cheese, man.
You were thinking about it.
I was thinking
so.
About to make
I
some
mean,
mac and cheese.
I'm
and
like,
this a plug for
guys,
mac and cheese.
I live like, I want to say 5 minutes away, like walking distance from a 7-Eleven. I'm going to go there, get my milk, so I can cook this mac and cheese tonight.
Make it happen. Make it happen. Listen, is that that's
right,
a coping skill.
Self-care journey.
Yep.
But I don't know. You got to be careful walking alone at
that's
night.
True.
Yeah, you do.
That is true also.
Got to watch out back.
Get you some pepper spray.
If you need some bodyguards, me and Corey got you. Jam Session Podcast. You've been a guest. We've had you on the show. You're Jam Session for life now. How's it feel?
Good.
How's it feel? That's good. You feel like you promoted good positivity out there in the world
I
today.
I hope I sent out good positive vibes. The Velveeta
most
vibes.
Definitely. Most definitely.
The Velveeta. Man, we plug in big name companies. I don't know if we got the money to
pay. They
pay
us royalties. We're dropping playing. Velveeta's name.
I swear, we've been doing the intermittent reinforcement of that. Maybe that's what we've been doing. I don't know. We'll have to know. You guys will have to hit us up on, you know, Instagram and all that. If we, how many people had a bowl of mac and cheese after listening to
so
this?
How long have you guys been doing this podcast?
This will be our third week and a half, maybe.
Right on.
And we've known each other about 4 weeks.
Right on.
Yep.
It's just, it's that, like you said, we were saying that vibe, and, you know, we, just wanted to get it going, and you know, there's a lot of negativity, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world today, and just stuff that, you know, I know I personally, you know, I was tired of seeing everyone depressed, but I wanted a way to help. I wanted a way to help the situation rather than just sitting there and saying something's wrong, or, you know, rather than saying, hey, look, your shirt's on fire. I wanted to give people a way to put it out. You know, I wanted to be a way to help bring positivity to the world. And I know that there's a lot of stuff I've been through and stuff that I've, you know, like everyone else in the world has gone through their own trials and tribulations. And I want to try and make the world a better, positive place because of it, because I don't want people to go through the same stuff been through and that other people go through every day. Life is hard enough on its own, you know?
Yeah, well, that's awesome. You guys are talking about coping skills and stuff. I know that's needed right now more than ever.
Right. That's true.
And especially even you got to think about it with, you know, winter coming up, and not only it being, you know, with COVID and everything going on with quarantine, but, you know, it's a hard time. There's a lot less to do on top of being quarantined, but you're going to be inside. You can't even go outside at all.
Yep.
It's hard.
Good validation there. It's so hard.
It is. It's hard to keep a positive mindset, especially when I know I'm happy when the sun comes out. So.
That is the truth. Well, we've been on here for about an hour and 2 minutes. We want to thank our guest.
Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed
with
it.
Us. It sucks we couldn't have
thank you for sharing the wisdom to the world. But make sure you guys like us on Instagram at jam_session_podcast. And we will be coming at you live with another episode this coming week. So make sure you guys check us out.
Peace.